Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thee, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. On June 4th of this year, my husband Chris and I will have been married for 25 years. So we've been thinking about how this being a milestone anniversary, we probably should celebrate in a way that's a little more special than usual. We were both in our 30s when we married, so we don't take 25 years for granted. We marvel at those couples who have been blessed to have been married 50 years, 60 years, and even rarer cases, 75 and 80 years. Chris has jokingly said, at least I consider it a joke, when he has observed that any man who has been married for at least 50 years should be awarded a Congressional Medal of Honor. To which I have replied, that goes both ways, buddy. Anyone who is married or has ever been married knows that there are certain things that go along with being married and living in the same house, in the same space with someone. Becoming familiar with and accepting one's partner's idiosyncrasies is a part of being married. One of Chris's idiosyncrasies is what he and I call padding around the house. It took me a while to become familiar and comfortable with this practice, where he walks softly between rooms, sometimes touching things, but not moving them.
Sorry about
that. Sometimes opening a drawer, glancing inside and closing it. He might walk over to a bookshelf and quickly peruse a title or two, but not remove the book. Or he might pick up his briefcase or his small church utility bag, which he and I began referring to as his purse, after he left it on the table in our church's fellowship hall one day, and a member of the congregation remarked, "Someone left their purse." When we were newlyweds, and I would see Chris going through this ritual of padding around the house, I would ask him, "Are you looking for something?" To which he would reply, "Nope, just padding." Then on other occasions, I'd press further and ask, "Have you lost something?" And then there were a couple of times when I asked him, "Are you bored?" To which he replied, "Nope, just padding." Over the years, I have noticed how this padding around the house ritual usually, though not exclusively, takes place on the weekends, in the morning or afternoon, sometimes in the evening. Chris's padding around the house is usually punctuated by a deliberate action where he finally sits down in his favorite chair to watch TV or to read, or maybe in more recent years to play on his tablet, to take a shower and head to bed. Some of those times find me stretched out on the sofa, or as Chris calls it, my coffin. I've become astute at telling the difference between when Chris is actually looking for something, when he's lost something, his keys, a book of stamps, his gray slacks, or when he's just padding. When he's just padding, he's not looking for something that he's lost, yet in this ritual of meandering, which Chris has done for as long as we have been together, there is something going on. There have been times when I've noticed Chris's padding, knowing that he's just padding, and I've said, "What are you looking for?" To which he has sometimes answered my question with a question, "What are you doing?" It's funny how our gospel text today brought to mind this mundane daily occurrence in the life of my marriage. John has once again declared that he is not the Messiah, that he is not the one that Isaiah spoke about. And the scripture says that the day after, he sees Jesus coming toward him, and he says, "There he is. There's the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I've been telling you about, who ranks ahead of me because he was before me." And he says, "I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And that's interesting to me for a number of reasons, but for one, because some scholars have observed that John and Jesus were likely cousins. And here John is declaring, "I myself did not know him." Then John goes on to testify, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." John is now starting to repeat himself, for he says, "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" And now John goes on to proclaim, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." As I read John's testimony, I began to think about my own testimony, how there was a time in my life going all the way back to when I was a child, when I had heard about this man named Jesus, but I myself did not know him. I heard other people talk about him in my church. Sometimes I heard the mention of his name in my house, but I myself could not honestly claim that I knew this Jesus. I'd heard people say, "Oh, he's a way maker. He's a bridge over troubled waters." But I myself did not know the man. The scriptures say that the next day John was standing with two of his disciples, and here comes Jesus just walking by. And John says, "Look, he's here, the Lamb of God." Then interestingly, when John's two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And when Jesus noticed them following him, he turned to them and said, "What are you looking for?" He didn't say, "Who are you looking for?" Instead, he says, "What are you looking for?" And the funny thing is, the disciples answered Jesus' question with a question. Jesus said, "What are you looking for?" To which the disciples reply, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus says to them, "Come and see." The Bible says they came and saw where Jesus was staying, and they remained there all day. This was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The scriptures recounting of this story made me think about how there was a time when I had heard about Jesus, the one who takes the world's sins away. But I myself did not know him. I had not met him. I had heard about him all of my life. And while I never questioned the existence of God, I had seriously at points questioned who this Jesus was in relationship to God. I'll never forget it. It was one day, late in the evening. I found myself curled up on my bedroom floor, weeping and wailing, calling on the name of Jesus. 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 I had received some news that had left me devastated, some news that left me wondering how I was even going to survive this situation. Now, you have to understand that I'm the type of person who always has a plan. Plan A, plan B, plan C, and then I have some backup plans for that backup plan of plan B and plan C. This time, there was no backup plan. I didn't have anything. Nothing. All I could do was call on the name of Jesus. Yes, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the writer of John tells us, when those two disciples decided to follow Jesus. But for me, it was in the midnight hours. It was in the wee hours of the morning when the Spirit of the Lord descended upon me and said, "This is the one I've been telling you about." And God spoke to me, not in the voice of James Earl Jones, but in the quiet voice of the Spirit, and said, "Right now, not tomorrow, but right now, claim the victory over your situation, over your circumstances." And I started saying, "But God, I don't know what to do." I was saying this in my spirit. And the Spirit said, "Yeah, that's right. You don't know what to do." I said, "But I feel so defeated." And I began to feel the presence of Jesus. And the Spirit said, "If you abide in him and allow him to abide in you, you cannot be defeated, for there is victory in Jesus." Now, I started off this sermon today telling you a story about how Christopher's habit of padding around the house has gone on now for almost 25 years. And it wasn't until yesterday, in preparation for this sermon, that I asked Chris, after 25 years of watching him pat around the house, "What is going on when you are patting around the house?" And he kind of chuckled as he repeated the question back to me, "What is going on when I'm patting?" Well, he said, last evening was a perfect example of it. I was patting around thinking about the things I need to take with me to the calendar meeting today at St. James, our church. He said, "So I'm just thinking about what I need and kind of getting organized, kind of working it through my mind." He said, "Often instead of going ahead and putting things in order, making a decision to pack my bags right then so that I'll be ready to go when I get ready to leave Instead, I just think about it, and I pack. Then in the morning, I pack everything up. But sometimes, like this morning, I got in the car and I realized I didn't have my driver's license. And I had to come back in the house and get it. And I thought, well, if while you were padding around, if you would have just packed your bags then, you wouldn't have forgotten your driver's license. At that moment, it became clear to me why God had dropped this in my spirit, because in our spiritual lives, sometimes we're just padding around, trying to order our lives, meandering through life's challenges. And Jesus is asking us, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? I don't know. Somebody's life here today might be in chaos. Another person might be feeling like they just don't have a clear purpose. Someone else may be seeking more joy, more faith, maybe seeking healing. The prophet Isaiah says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born, which I was in my mother's womb. He named me." And that doesn't just apply to the Lamb of God, who was called before he was born and was named in his mother Mary's womb. That also applies to you and to me. For everyone within the sound of my voice, God has called you, and he's called me. This is not a call to ordained ministry that Isaiah is speaking about. This is the call that Paul speaks of to the church at Corinth, whereby God has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And here Paul tells us that God is faithful. While we are yet padding around, God has extended grace to us in Christ Jesus. And he says to us, "Oh, come and see that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Oh, come and see that he will meet you at your need. Oh, come and see how if you abide in him and allow him to abide in you, that you shall be fruitful and your living shall not be in vain. Oh, come and see how when you pass through waters, God will be with you and the waters will not overtake you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be set ablaze. Oh, come and see how he can heal the brokenhearted and dry all of their tears away. Oh, come and see how he'll turn your midnights into day. Oh, come and see how he'll give strength to the weary and give power to the weak. Come and see how those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Oh, come and see how when the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. The message is clear. What do you seek? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come and behold. If you follow him and remain with him, you will find him. Now is the time. Perfect light of revelation, as you shone in the life of Jesus, whose epiphany we celebrate, so shine in us and through us. that we may become beacons of truth and compassion, enlightening all creation with deeds of justice and mercy. Amen.